Am I doing this right?
How many snacks has he had today?
No, please do not eat the dog food.
I think he peed on the floor.
What do we make this kid for lunch today?
Can you say dada?
Can you say mama?
Will I ever sleep again?
Welcome to Probably Okay Parenting,
a podcast where we talk about our highs and lows and random weird experiences as we parent our 21-month-old toddler. What's up, Brian?
Not much. It's been a while since you and I last spoke. What was that, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, we're just silent in our house. If we don't have microphones on, there's no point.
We don't make eye contact. We don't talk.
What's the point?
You don't write.
So you want to start us off with our recap? Or it's kind of abrupt,
I know.
Oh, man,
I was not expecting that question. Recap. No, we've had a really nice, what was it, 2 weeks here. We've had grandparents visiting, which has been really wonderful, and we're really lucky to have grandparents, you know, that can come visit.
Just to be clear, our son's grandparents.
Yeah,
you're kind of making it like our grandparents.
No, sorry, our son's grandparents.
Okay, great.
So that's been really nice. Anything else that comes to mind for you?
So many things.
Okay.
I was just trying to give you a chance before I just jump in.
Okay, go for it. So, Allison, what about you? Do you have anything you would like to recap?
I have a lot of things.
Okay, would you like to tell us any of them?
All right. So, I guess we should touch on our sleep struggles we've been having.
Okay.
So, as longtime listeners know, and basically anyone who has a toddler knows, sleep is never a guarantee. A lot of highs, peaks, valleys.
Not many weirds, just lows.
Yeah.
Lots of highs, lots
exactly.
of lows.
So, I feel like we had a good thing going with a 7 p.m. bedtime and a circa 6 a.m. wake time. Pretty reliable.
Even like getting almost to 7 on a couple of those days.
True, true. And like great naps. And then all of a sudden, that just came to an abrupt end and 4:30 became the new standard wake-up time.
The new normal.
Exactly. And so, you know, things are always shifting and changing. So we've been trying to adjust. We pushed bedtime back a whole half hour, which is a tough adjustment.
I know, that
7:30,
half hour.
I know, really.
It's just 30 minutes, but
it
we're
changes
like,
things, man.
Oof, size large.
So he goes to bed at 7:30, and then that really wasn't helping. We did that for like 2 weeks. Then somebody said, you got to shorten his naps because he likes to nap for a long time. So
and
they were like,
they are from Staten Island.
Yeah,
apparently.
You can't let him nap more than 2 hours. But ugh, wake
Don't
him up from a nap.
Don't let him nap more than 2 hours.
Is so painful also. I hate to do
Wait,
it.
Wait, who was it
that
told
times.
Us that?
My friend. I don't
I
like to say
was...
people's names on here.
Oh, okay.
Unless they're listeners and they don't care. But this person definitely is not a listener. So
oh, because
we'll
I thought it was
L.
a listener.
No.
You have friends that are not listeners?
Yes.
What?
I don't like most people to listen to this.
Well, we wouldn't have any listeners if it wasn't just friends and family and then
That's true.
A few and random people. In
a
like
lot of random people.
The
not
Netherlands
a few.
And Australia.
Hundreds
and
hundreds
South
of random
Korea.
People. Yeah, I like the randos and I like the chosen few, but the middle ground people? Mm.
What do you mean?
I don't really want to get into it. So
like
anyway.
Like coworkers, for instance.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
yeah
that would
no.
be a good middle ground. I no understand thanks. What you're saying.
Okay, so moving on. Sleep
okay,
struggle. So they said you
got to
wake them after 2 hours. You can't let them sleep more than 2 hours. Okay, I don't feel great about that. We did that a few times. Still, nothing changed. So last night, I just had it. I just don't like waking up before 5 a.m. I don't know if anyone else
what?
Feels that way.
That's crazy.
I just couldn't take it anymore. So I went in and used so much painter's tape and taped like all. I mean, it already is so dark in there. But I was thinking like maybe the tiniest little sliver of light is escaping through this little
and
shade.
Shining directly into his eyes at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah. So I taped the whole perimeter of the window, like the curtain to the window, basically.
Okay.
And this morning, left out, what,
no.
six?
Yeah, but we've also been, like, putting them down later.
I know,
so.
That's the other thing that's so hard, is you can't, like, definitively point to one thing that helped. You just never know, man.
Well, if it helps you sleep at night, we're going to say that
well,
one piece of painter's tape.
Literally does help me sleep at night, because there's not screaming
yeah.
going on at 4:30.
That's the joke.
So that's what's going on with that. And then as our guy is just developing more words and phrases. It's so much fun. And just like tonight, we were like, oh my gosh, he just said ready, set, go.
Oh yeah.
Like
yeah.
It's crazy all the little phrases he's picking up. But there are a lot of times where we don't, like he's very intently trying to tell us something, or he'll say, I want dish. And we're like, what? And we just, it's like, just point to it or try a different way, or can you act it out? Two words, two syllables. Like, it's just so hard when he's trying to say, I want, yeah. It's like, what is it? What is it that he wants?
Yeah, that's tough.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a question. Does anyone who sends their child to daycare, do they actually nap there? Because I don't think that any kid
that's
actually naps.
That's another hard part.
Daycare.
Going back to the sleep struggles is like, he goes to a daycare 3 times a week.
Which we really
here
like.
4 times a week. Yeah, but
it's hard
we also
to
suspect he's not getting like
schedule.
A full nap and at
I don't
the same
think
time.
Any kid going to any daycare is getting like the quality sleep that they're going to get at home, obviously.
Yeah, right.
So that is
and
a struggle.
And the date, like the times shift. Easy we can't exactly be like, he must go to nap at 12.
Well, we
oh,
could,
oh.
But we would be crazy
freak
to do
us.
That. Yeah. So I would say, yeah, that's tough. That's definitely tough. The consistency. Definitely. Mm-hmm. But it's an easy thing to be like, oh, well, it must be that. But who knows really why?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
All right. Should we move on to parent confession? Because you told me for once in your life.
Parent confessions.
You have
yeah,
a parent confession,
actually,
and I've just been waiting
I'll
on
be honest,
pins and needles.
When you just said about the parent confession,
yeah,
I forgot for a second that I had one.
Let me just set the scene for our listeners. Two nights ago, I'm sitting in bed reading, and I hear, and Brian's downstairs, I don't know, doing whatever, quote unquote, working. And I hear a little bzz, bzz of my phone, and I look over, and it says, from Brian, because, you know, you got text from the downstairs. He said, I forgot to tell you, I have a parent confession. And man, I just got so excited. So I've been waiting since that moment.
First of all, thank you for setting up that scene.
You're welcome.
We appreciate it. So, okay, you were off doing, you know, whatever it is that you normally do, relaxing, you know, just definitely not parenting, probably talking to one of our listeners on the phone.
Probably.
And so, which is, you know, probably likely. So
very likely. Okay.
You were just thanking them for their listenership.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah, yeah.
And as our son and I sometimes do, we like to play the piano. And so he was sitting in my lap, we're playing the piano, and then he wants to get down. So I'm like, all right, great, get down. But I'm going to keep playing the piano here.
Oh, boy.
Now, at this particular moment,
I'm scared.
It was this particular day, it was your brother's birthday.
Okay.
So I was practicing a quick rendition of Happy Birthday with a little twist at the end that I know he might appreciate. So
nice.
I was practicing that, and I had my camera set up because I was getting ready to take a video.
To send him a video of you playing
Correct.
Happy Birthday.
Yes, thank
cute,
you.
So, cute.
So it's, you know, facing me, sort mm-hmm. of, and the rest of the room is in the background.
Okay.
And so I'm playing, and then I kind of, like, look over in my periphery at the camera because I saw something move on
Gotta
the camera.
Gotta check yourself out, yeah.
And he was standing on one of our dining room chairs, but, like, no hands, nothing. And now, listeners, so you're aware, these are kind of like a fabric chair. It's not really a chair. I don't care that he's standing on it. It's not like that. It's just one that is not meant for standing. Like, it kind of has like a weird seat to it so that you could easily fall off there just as an adult if you were standing on it.
Okay.
And I look over like in the camera and he's just smiling and laughing hysterically, but facing me. So like he knows he should
he's
not
like
be
trying
doing
to get
this.
Into the video.
No, but
he's just being silly.
He didn't realize that I had a video going, but he okay. just like was standing, smiling, looking at me, waiting for me to like turn and see that he was doing this bad thing. Basically.
Okay.
So I was like, oh shit. Now, really, you know, not a huge confession or anything like that, but it was just really funny that I was like deeply in the zone. And then I just turn around and he's like, you know, being bad, basically. It was very funny.
That's the confession?
Well, I'm sorry. Your confessions are like, oh, by accident, I kicked him down the Empire State Building.
Oh, my God. Okay. It's just that you were so involved in your little video of yourself that you didn't realize our child was standing on a chair.
Yeah. Now, again, okay. could so be worse. But see,
the perfect parent has fallen thrown from his throne.
You're always looking for some kind of crazy thing. Like, I was playing piano and I could smell something burning. And I turned around and our whole child was on fire.
Or I thought you were going to say he was cooking a creme brulee and he let it burn.
Yeah, exactly. He's with never going to get into Le Cordon Bleu.
Exactly. Okay. Okay. I have one, but it's like a little more deep.
Violent?
No. It's more of like a deep, like something I realized is inherently wrong with my parenting.
Okay, one just like BTS side note for the listeners is sometimes Allison will say, oh, I almost forgot that we do say your name on this, but we don't say our child's name. Anyway, yeah. You're like, oh, yeah, I have something great for this. And you really like sell it big time. And then I'm like, okay, well, now you've made me like really want to know what it is. And you're like, no, I'll have to wait for the podcast. And then literally like 3 weeks later, we record a podcast. So it's like, oh, yeah, yeah. So anyway, lay it on us.
Okay, so I realized something about like my parenting that I've been doing lately that I don't like, that I need to change.
Thank you for, you know, making yourself vulnerable. And
oh, funny you should say that, because our parenting news segment is all about that same subject. But anyway, our son has started to express like preferences for certain toys or certain items. And he's just gotten to the stage naturally where sometimes there's like a little conflict with another kid. Like when we're at a playground, if they both want to play with the same thing. Mm. Or the other day, this particular stick that he had off the ground that another boy really wanted. Mm. Or there's like sometimes...
We've seen that at the library a lot.
Yeah, at the library. Yeah. You know, if he wants a certain toy and the other kid wants a certain toy. And then it was happening, we were at a bookstore and there was like a train table and he plays with the train. And the other little boy playing wanted to play with the exact same train that our son was playing. So I realized that every time, and I'm not proud of this or happy about it, but every time that one of these conflicts come up, I always say, no matter what, of who's playing with it first or who's had it or whose toy it is, I always say to our son, okay, give him a turn. Okay, let him play with it. Okay, give it to her. Instead, it's her turn. Okay, let her do it.
Kick the other child in the chest and be like, this is my son's toy.
No, certainly not. But even if like our son has just gotten a turn and now the other kid wants it back, I'll still make him give it to him back because the other kid's crying. And
so
I always
will
say,
you do that?
Okay, give it to him. All
why?
Right, let him have it. It's okay. Even if our son's crying, I'll take it out of his hand and give it to the other kid.
Nice.
So I was thinking, I've told you, I'm not proud of it.
But did you tell us that you were going to blow all of our eardrums
out? Yes.
Okay, great.
So I was thinking about why do I do this? And I think it's like, I guess I felt like it's my responsibility as the parent to like help him like end this conflict as quickly as possible or something. I don't know. It ain't right.
Yeah, I don't
and
know
it feels,
what
sorry.
The right solution
It feels
is
awkward, I guess, in front of the other parent to be like saying to the other kid, like, no, it's his turn.
Well, we're also getting into my weird of the week. So I'll just say my weird now. Which,
oh, boy. Okay.
Really, really early. So that means later I won't have a weird. Okay.
Okay.
But, the real funny part of this story to me that you're leaving out was when we were at the bookstore.
Yes.
Our son and this other little boy, like our son was kind of starting to get upset that the other boy was like playing with something that he wanted to be playing with.
Mm-hmm.
And at this particular moment, that kid had not yet spoken at all whatsoever.
Okay.
So then at some point he like turns to our son and tries to get him kind of involved in the play.
Yes.
And I actually kind of saw that in some ways as the kid who was maybe a little older than our son.
Definitely older.
He was like 25 years old. he kind of like resolved the conflict, and his way of resolving that conflict was to try and get our son to play with him. Now the funny part about this is that child only spoke Italian.
Yes.
So
see.
As soon as this kid like launched into his whole pitch, basically for our son to play with him,
mm-hmm.
it was just so funny to see our son's reaction to that, because it was like, wait, what?
He's now, like, are you an alien?
The funny part, and this is the thing that kind of makes it weird, it's not that, like, our son doesn't know how to speak English either, but it was just like this other kid, he really was saying like so much, but it was in Italian. I don't know. It was just like a very funny situation. So I think, have you tried that? Just like speaking
rapid
in
fire Italian.
Rapid fire Italian.
Cerco di trovare la mia identità senza chiedere aiuto, ma solo lontano busso non rispondo neanche un'anima.
Exactly.
I'll try that next time.
Yeah, I think that might work. So why do you do that? Why do you think you do that?
Yeah, I think it's just like I said, it feels
just
awkward.
Just to resolve the conflict though?
Yeah, it feels awkward to try and like tell the other kid what to do.
So, okay, let's just play out a scenario. Because like that Italian parent who is standing right there, we're going to assume that she doesn't listen to this podcast or she's going to come hunt us down. She was basically like, off smoking a cigarette in the store while her son was doing his thing. So let's just play this out for a second. Let's say our son like really starts flipping out or like grabs the toy from the other kid. And then the other kid like, you know, pushes him down or like what? Like, I guess.
No.
I'm just saying, what is the outcome where you don't intercede in this at all whatsoever?
Oh.
Like if you just kind of
I think
let
they're
them
both like tugging on the toy and then one of them will get it, probably ours because he's massive. And then the other one will scream and cry.
Okay. So I guess I'm just trying to play out like what are some other options that you have?
Well, oftentimes the other parent is also actively engaged and being like, no, let him play, let him play. So
I have seen that, but I've also seen that like
what
that
they're
the
not
parents
involved.
Are not engaged. So then it's just like you mediating a conflict between your own child and then some other person's
right,
child.
And that's why it feels awkward to be like to the other kid, let him play with
Ciao.
It. He hasn't gotten
Ciao.
A turn yet. But I've seen actually other
Grazie.
Moms do that at the playground. And I'm like, wow, they're like advocating for their child.
In what way? They're like, hey, my son was playing with this. I will
or
fuck
like,
you up.
No. But like on the swing, on something like, okay, it's her turn now. They'll say to the other kid about their own daughter. Or like, whereas me in that situation, I would be like, okay, bud, let's go play with something else until that kid's done. Like, I would never say that.
I guess, but also.
Her way is better.
I don't agree with that. I think like as an adult, what would you do in that situation? I wouldn't go over and be like, hey, it's my turn now. I would be like, oh, you know what? That person's on the swing. I'll get it next time I'm here at the park.
Okay. But at some point you might be like, hey, can I have a turn, please?
I don't know if you know me, but I would never say that.
Okay. You wouldn't. But I'm basically teaching him that like his needs don't actually matter compared to others. That's not good.
Oh, I think that, and you know, listeners, this may be something you disagree on, but I personally think, you know, to a certain extent, a sign of confidence and like maturity is to be like, yeah, no, you could play with this toy because it's like a toy. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, but to him, 21 month old, it's not just a toy or just a stick. Like,
that's a good point. That's fair. I mean, how do you teach your at this point, our only child to advocate for themselves without.
Well,
like,
you have to model it, I think.
Selfish. What do you mean? You always take my stuff.
That's different.
So how? Yeah, that's different.
No, I think next time I just need to not immediately, as soon as the other kid cries or something, make our son give it back.
Yeah.
I can say like, okay, you know, he's going to play with it for another minute. Then we'll give you a turn. Something like that.
Okay.
I can do it. I feel confident.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. I think like at the same time, you know, when the parent is engaged, it's much easier. I agree with that. Like when we're at the library and there's two parents, you know, and they're both like you're saying, hey, you know, whatever. And the other parent's like, yeah, it's fine. You know, whatever. That's a much better situation than when it's just you.
But even in that situation, I got to show him that like, yeah, he does get a turn. You don't always have to hand it over.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a really
watch out.
That is a really interesting one.
Mama Bear coming out.
I would be very interested to hear.
Ain't nobody taking my son's toys from now on.
No, seriously, listener feedback on this one.
Yeah. All right. So that's my confession, I guess.
But not from family members, just FYI. Not interested in your feedback. You can take that out.
No. I'm taking that out. Oh, that's funny. All right. Are you ready to get into parenting news?
I'm going to be in trouble now. Anyway,
yes.
All right. Parenting news.
parenting news.
Unfortunately, I share initials with
the author we're going to be discussing.
The author that we're going to be discussing, and no, it's not Bugs Bunny.
Dang it. All right, so we are going to talk about the chapter on parenting in the book Daring Greatly by Brené Brown. Courage to be vulnerable transforms the way we live, love, parent, and lead. So Brian has some strong feelings.
I'll just say at the top, you know, I personally don't ever find like TED Talks and just general purpose psychology books to be very meaningful to me personally. I'll just speak my own truth there. And to that effect, what I mean is, like, every one of these books that we've read so far, whether it be Brené Brown or Dr. Dick, I think that a lot of these books are just so general. So, like, everything kind of relates to everyone. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like a fortune teller. Like, there's a certain amount of...
Or like sort a horoscope.
Yeah, there's a certain amount of, like, scam artist to me about this, just because it's like, I don't know, presenting yourself as some sort of guru when you are literally just saying some common sense bullshit. But anyway, that is sort of the diet version of how I feel about this. So,
okay. Shall we continue? That being said, I think there are a few little nuggets in here that are interesting to discuss, at least.
Yeah, definitely. Perfect for a podcast. Okay, here's what I'm going to dare you to do greatly. Summarize this book.
You're funny. So... Everybody's read this book, I feel like.
I definitely have.
Besides
not,
you.
So please don't say that ever. I actually guarantee you that if we went to every single neighbor on our neighborhood, not a single person has read it.
I don't think that's true. I think a lot of people have read it.
Have you met our neighbors?
More than 1 million copies sold, it says. And I think this
was a long time ago.
That's
actually
not that many
copies.
No, I know. I think this was like printed in the first week.
I mean, it's a million more books than I've ever sold. But
right. Okay, so the parenting chapter basically, first of all, she says like she doesn't even believe in the idea of parenting expert, and I think we can agree with that.
I don't believe in the idea of parenting expert. By the way, here's a whole chapter on parenting.
Okay, so I just want to dive in.
I was praying that we were going to for the last 20 minutes.
Were you? Okay, so basically she just talks about like how to be a wholehearted parent and how to raise wholehearted children and the importance of being vulnerable with your children and how you experience shame and how you process shame with your children and how you model all of these kind of emotional
shame.
Experiences for your kid. So I thought the scariest part of this book, it's kind of terrifying.
Oh boy.
Is this following sentence. She said, in terms, yes, thank you. In terms of teaching our children to dare greatly in the quote unquote never enough culture.
I appreciate that she drops the title of the book in there.
The question isn't so much, are you parenting the right way?
But
as
are you
it is,
daring greatly?
Are you the adult that you want your child to grow up to be? How do you feel about that, Brian?
Am I the adult that I want my child to grow up to be?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's such an unbelievably loaded question.
So if we want our children to love and accept who they are, our job is to love and accept who we are.
I would say it took me a long time to love and accept who I am. But once I got there, which was like, I would say maybe mid-20s, that's when I really started to build my like sense of self-confidence, et cetera, et cetera.
That seems early. Like, I feel like most people wouldn't say that in their mid-20s, they loved and accepted who they were. But I don't know. I'm just speaking in generalizations. Just
yeah,
like
I was
going to
say, damn, that sounds anecdotal as fuck.
What do I know?
Hey, do you happen to be Brené Brown? Anyway, so I think, you know, at this point in my life, I feel very happy. I feel very like confident in my own being. That's not to say that I don't have plenty of things in myself that I could continue to improve upon like anyone else. But, you know, at the same time, I'm very happy. I wake up very happy every day. So to that extent, you know, yes, I do feel like I am living the life that, you know, I hope my son can lead as well. Wait, so are you the adult that you would like your child to be?
No.
Why? What do you mean? You're amazing.
I don't know. I got to think a lot about this, but I don't think so.
How so?
I don't know. I don't feel prepared to answer this. in depth.
Well, you just asked me the question.
No, I did not. I asked you, do you think that that's true? Or like, how do you feel about that statement?
You know what's so great about a podcast?
I did not ask you, are you the adult? I asked you, what do you feel about that statement?
I don't think that's true. But anyway, y'all can go back and listen because I ain't. But actually, you will because you edit this cast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so can you say the statement again then?
Oh, my gosh.
Because I didn't realize now we're just answering, true or false statements.
If we want our children to love and accept who they are, our job is to love and accept who we are. Yeah, I think that that's definitely true. You got to model it.
And
but that
is
seems
something
very
really specific
intimidating.
That's not general to everyone.
Well, there's so much focus on like how you got a parent and like the right way to potty train, the right way to teach sharing, the right way to prepare a child to become an older sibling, the right way, there's all these books that we read and talk about on here, right? The right way to manage
right.
mood swings and tantrums or whatever. But I don't think there's a lot of focus on just like you have to not just model what you want your kid to.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. You want to sort of like intrinsically model, if that makes sense. Like, because your acceptance of yourself and those sorts of things are sort of like tantamount to your child, developing.
So if you feel
like
you're self-critical and you don't want your child to be self-critical, then you got to fix that first instead of just like put a facade on or try and model it. Not like you really have to actually change, I think is what she's saying.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just play devil's advocate for a second here and say, your child only and everyone really only perceives what you externalize. So like you don't have to accept yourself or be like 100% happy.
Really?
With yourself.
Do you really believe that?
I don't actually believe that.
No, that's insane.
No, I don't believe that. But I'm just saying, I think to your point, if you don't necessarily think that you're the adult that you want your child to be or whatever it is that you were just saying,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you're still a great parent. You still do fantastic things. Like you know what I mean?
Oh,
so
of
I think,
course.
I think definitely people's lack of self-acceptance in whatever aspect of their life, you can still. That's what I'm saying, I guess. The externalized like part that your child is perceiving, I think, can also be different.
You're just saying you don't want to shame anyone who doesn't feel like they're the adult they would want their child to be.
Yeah. Or I'm trying to think. Like, I'm going to give a really stupid example. But let's say, like, if I'm afraid of heights and I don't want my kid to be afraid of heights,
mm-hmm.
maybe I will
fake it till you make it.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Maybe my external stimuli basically that I'm putting out there is like that I'm loving it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm loving it.
But I think kid can like see through that.
Maybe.
Or anyone spending 18 years.
I don't
years
necessarily
with you.
Agree with that. I mean, I think like part of it is faking it till you make it, like what you were just saying. But anyway.
Well, that's what she's saying, working on your flaws or whatever.
And definitely an interesting topic.
I've heard a lot of like my friends who have daughters say things like, if I don't want my daughter to like think about her body this way or negatively or like have negative talk because like women and body image issues or whatever, then I can't be doing it. So I think that it's in a lot of our minds, but also we're very hardwired to do certain things that, are part of us. So
yeah, I think that makes sense.
Okay. So another part of this chapter, she talks about another scary thing. And it's all about basically what do parents experience as the most vulnerable and bravest thing that they do in the efforts to raise wholehearted children. And it's basically, she concludes, letting their children struggle and experience adversity, which is very, very challenging. I think
yeah.
we would say in our less than 2 years of being parents, not our favorite thing.
Very much.
And I think
so.
We have a lot more ahead of us.
Yeah, I think that's very true. I think in general, like you personally, I just mean the general you
right.
experiencing hardship and having to like persist through challenges is definitely, a struggle, I think, for most adults. So, witnessing or experiencing your child having to persist through those things. Yeah, definitely a challenge. Just like you're saying, even if it's a small, simple, like social thing, whatever, at the library, I think that really presents a lot of challenges.
Right.
I'll be interested to see, because, you know, I think they're obviously, it's easy for us all to say, well, you know, like persistence builds rigor, basically, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in practice, I think it's very hard to just kind of sit back and be like, all right, well, he's going to really benefit from falling down the stairs or whatever.
I don't think it has to be like a dangerous thing.
No, I'm just falling down the stairs socially or, you know, academically.
Yeah, or in a sport or something. Yes. So she says hope is a function of struggle. If we want our children to develop high levels of hopefulness, we have to let them struggle.
I think the biggest thing is if we can impart like a couple of lessons, one of them that would be really important is to just get back up and try again. And
yeah,
not,
I can
like,
see
really beat
us
yourself up.
Both having a hard time with this. Like,
absolutely.
I mean, any parent probably. But
yeah, I think you're right. I think any parent, you know, doesn't want to see their kids struggle.
She gave the example that like her daughter was on the swim team and she really didn't want to swim in this certain event. And she would cry and cry and cry. And the coach wanted her to do it. And she'd come home and just cry about how she really didn't want to do it. And she was so bad at it. And it was so embarrassing. And you know, she had to do it and she was bad at it and it was embarrassing. And obviously that's a beneficial experience for her. But as a parent to like sit there and just feel so tempted to just say like, you don't have to do it or I'll talk to the coach or whatever. Like I can see myself wanting so badly to just say the thing that's going to stop the anxiety and fear and just like take care of it, even though that's not probably what's best in the long run. But I can already feel the temptation.
I don't know, though. I don't know that that is best either.
Right. Well, we don't know. You're right. You never know. But in a situation where it seems that the child has to go through with whatever the undesirable thing is, it's just so tempting to say like, oh, you know, I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I think that, you know, obviously every situation is unique and every kid is unique. So you just have to try and take it as it comes. But I don't know. There's certain things, too, that I just won't care that much about. So a good example would be like that swim team thing. Like if he came home and he was like, oh, I really don't want to do this, yada, yada. I'd be like, man, I mean, I would probably make him do it. But at the same time, it's just not something that I care deeply about.
Okay. But it doesn't matter what the thing is. Like, okay, you don't care about swim. It could be solo and jazz band.
No. But that's my point. For that, I'd be like, well, sorry, kid, you're doing it.
Well, it's not really about you, Brian. Sorry to break it to you.
I thought that's the whole purpose of having kids.
Is that they just do the things
I
that
just
you
want to grow
find cool and
a
interesting.
A child that will entertain me.
Okay, got it. All right, well, so would you say that some good things to think about in this chapter of Brené Brown's Daring Greatly?
Sure. But I think mainly, you know, there's, you know, it's a good podcast topics. I'll say that. Good podcast topics.
Great. Listeners, let us know what you think. Appreciate it. Appreciate the feedback.
Absolutely. Next episode, we'll be reviewing a book called Zen Parenting.
Oh, wow. Okay.
If I actually read it.
You got to read it and then present it to us.
This will only be the third time that I have to extend my hold on this book from
the library.
We're going to be like, sir, just return the book.
Sir, you're clearly not Zen.
Yeah, you're not going to read it.
All right. Shall we jump into our high, low, weird?
High,
low,
weird.
Let's. And since I already gave a weird, why don't you give us your weird?
Okay. I feel like our son's main goal in life is to make us laugh, which is amazing. That's
well,
a
isn't
super
that what
high.
I just said? We're growing a little person who's going to entertain us.
Yeah, true. He's like a little jester. Oh, yeah. He juggles. He does the unicycle. So anyway, he always wants to make us laugh all the time. That's his number one goal. So it's a beautiful thing, but it's kind of been getting me into trouble because I easily do laugh. So he was brushing his teeth and he like dropped his toothbrush and I guess he made a funny sound or he did something. And I like laughed just a little chuckle. But he saw that when he dropped his toothbrush, I laughed. So now anytime I try to get him to brush his teeth, he picks up the toothbrush and just drops it and looks at me and smiles and laughs. And he laughs hysterically. And I'm like, okay, buddy. Yeah, that's very funny, but we got to brush our teeth. And I give it back to him. Drop. give back to him, drop, laugh. Like, he's hysterical. So now, and it actually is kind of funny. Like, I can't help it. I try not to laugh, but it is pretty funny because he's so excited. So now it's like, I guess we just don't brush our teeth anymore because this is our funny game now.
That's a great weird.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, award-winning weird,
actually.
Oh,
my God. Thank you so much. I want to thank the Academy. All right. What's your low, Bri?
Low. I'm going to say just the persisting sleep issues. Like, I can't remember if it was yesterday or the day before, but I was in the deepest sleep probably that I've ever been in my whole entire life.
Yeah.
And it was like 5. And I just could hear him making sounds, like loud, you know, get me out of this place sounds.
Yeah.
And I just look over and, oh, you're just sleeping the morning away.
Yep.
And sometimes you'll take your eye mask off for a second, kind of just look around the room, then just put it back on and go to sleep. And like, dude is screaming, and it's like, well, all right, I guess I'm going to go get him.
No, because I have hope, like maybe every morning, even though I don't know why
I
have hope
for
left
an
over,
hour.
I have hope that he's going to fall back asleep.
You hope from like 5 to 6:30.
Yep.
And
I just keep on hoping.
Yeah, it's hard. Also,
but you know, adversity breeds hope,
I guess. And then the other low with that was like sometimes, you know, it's the morning time, like you got to take care of business, you know, go to the bathroom, that kind of thing. But I have to walk by his room in order to do that.
I know, it's unfortunate.
And you do not let me do that sometimes.
No, because the creaky floors. I'm like, that's a joke that you think you're about to walk by his room.
And you're like, well, you know, he might be going back to sleep. It's like, no, he's been crying for 45 minutes.
No, you make it like we do not leave him that long.
Oh, my gosh. That is another thing.
Well, because he'll stop for a little bit, lay back down. It's not like an hour straight of crying.
Okay. First of all, that's not true. Second of all, our pediatrician said it was fine. A pediatrician was like, you know what? Just you got to train him that you're not going in there at 5 o'clock. So if that means he's crying from 5 to 6, well, sorry, you're not going in there.
It's
now,
over.
Obviously, we're not literally doing that for an hour because who the hell could actually
stand
that?
Who can do that?
But
I don't know
you
them.
Are like, oh, he's only been crying for 10 minutes. And it's like, nah, he's been crying for 30.
Yeah, true.
But anyway, that's my
low. Also, along the same lines of sleep, like you mentioned at the top of the episode, we've been very fortunate to have our son's grandparents in town the last 2 weekends. And we did take advantage of that by going out and letting them spend some quality time without us with him, which was really nice. And we had a lot of fun, but I was just thinking like, and we appreciate it so much. We're very grateful
Uh-oh,
to the
you're
grandparents.
You're about to get in trouble.
But this is not a knock on them
here
at
we
all.
Go, here
I'm just
we
thinking,
go, here we go.
No. I'm just thinking in a larger.
Grandparents, grip your chair.
In a larger scheme of life, having a babysitter just in general is great, wonderful. We get to, you know, like have date night or go out or meet up with friends. But the time you really need the babysitter is the next morning. And I'm not saying anything about the grandparents. I'm not knocking on them. I'm just saying, like,
God.
Just in general, it's like great to have a night out.
It depends what you're doing.
But then when he's up at 4:50,
and
I'm just
we
thinking
went to
like,
bed at 11:30 and we
yeah,
were waking up hungover.
Yes, pretty much. You're just like...
And just dehydrated.
That night out, not worth it.
Definitely not.
No.
No offense to anyone that we might go out with. But yeah, it's literally
no,
just like...
No, we have so much fun, obviously.
No, obviously. I know.
It hurts the next morning. That's my point. It hurts the next morning. And we have a few events coming up where we're going to hire a babysitter. And it's like, can we be like, can you come back at 4:30 tomorrow morning? Or can you just sleep here and...
Oh.
Get him up?
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. I guess that's probably not a good thing.
Probably not okay.
Not okay parenting. All right.
Let's do our highs.
I didn't do my low. You didn't even ask. I was just piggybacking on yours.
Oh, wait. Really?
Yeah. But I guess that can count as my low.
No, what's your low?
No, I'll save this for next week. All right. What's your high, Brian?
No, you got to do your low. You can't not do a low.
I was just going to say, like, when he is expressing disappointment loudly, like if we are leaving the park or leaving the backyard or leaving anywhere that he wants to be longer, oof, it's tough. It's hard physically because picking up a 35 pounder when he's screaming and twisting and turning around and trying to like get back on the ground.
Well, he's got one particular technique, as they say.
Yeah.
And this technique, he basically turns himself into like a pencil.
Okay.
And I cannot hold him. Like, he just, like, basically puts his arms straight up in the air and, like, his feet really straight. And then he kind of, like, wriggles out. So, yeah. Like, and so I immediately have to put him down. But then he just proceeds to, lay on the ground or run away.
Yeah.
Like, especially at the park or something like that. Yeah. It's like,
It's tough. It just takes a lot out of me. I don't feel like other parents have as hard of a time with tantrums as I do.
I don't know. I mean, sound really has always been, you've been always very sensitive to sound in general.
Loud
so
sound,
like when there's loud, like shrieky type noises, that has always really gotten on your nerves.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's like bad ASMR.
I need like 3 hours to recover, but it doesn't happen.
Yeah. Well, no, it will when he goes to college.
Okay, what's your high?
I have to say my high has probably been our playground adventures lately. We have, we're really lucky to be in an area where there's a lot of really fantastic playgrounds. And there's one in particular that's kind of like the main playground for our town. And it's just like a very huge playground. So it's been really fun running around with him. Definitely some awkward times on there because our guy is one of the youngest ones that happens to be on this playground. There's like an adult playground and a...
Adult?
I'm sorry. There's a older child and a younger child playground. And our son never wants to go on the younger child playground because, you know, that would just make too much sense. And
the bigger one is
way too easy.
It says like 5 to 12 year olds.
And like he legit, if he fell off, this larger one would get fucked up. So to that extent, I follow him, you know, on there, and there's definitely, which when we've been there most of the time, there's not a ton of kids on there, but there's been one or two times where we've been where there's a shootload of kids on there, and it's just like me kind of, you know, having to navigate the social world of 5 through 8 year olds with my almost 2 year old.
Right.
And I'm like, oops, excuse me. So sometimes those things are funny. But yeah, that's just been my high lately. Just always lots of funny times. And he's always just so happy. And there's so much to do there.
Yeah, he's loving it.
Mm-hmm. And then as soon as we get home, he's like totally zonked out and needs a very long nap. So playground for the win.
Beautiful.
Now that the weather is getting nice, absolutely. If you've never been to a playground, highly recommend.
10 out of 10 experience.
What about you? What's your high?
My high is like a new thing that our son started doing recently, which is very sweet and cute. You know how like in like a rom-com, the guy will like subtly like move the hair.
Why
out
are you
of
talking
the woman's
sexy?
Eyes. Because like in this movie, it's like a cute little thing.
Sure.
He started like moving my hair out of my face. When I have hair in my eyes or like in my face,
he'll
like come
funny.
Over to me and like move it out of my face in like the most tender, sweet little way. It's so
that's
cute.
So sweet. I'm going to grow my hair out just to experience
it. Yeah,
that.
Yeah. It's pretty special.
That's really sweet.
He's just such a sweetheart.
I like the simplicity of that high.
Yeah.
It's a nice one.
Good. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Well, if your kid doesn't ever fucking sleep past 4:30.
Except he will because you taped the windows closed.
True.
If you don't understand what your toddler's trying to tell you and you ask him to repeat it 47 times and it just ends with him and you being extremely frustrated.
If you decided that you're going to start bullying other children to advocate for your own child.
Watch out.
It's probably okay.